Welcome to The Quill and the Quantum, the podcast where we explore the intersection of artificial intelligence and the art of writing. I'm your host, Kathy Norris, and in each episode, we'll talk to those authors and other creatives who use or refuse to use AI in their writing process.
Today's guest is multi-talented author, blogger, and speaker, Cathay Orata. Cathay, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm real happy to be here.
You know, you have written several nonfiction books, but my favorite remains your Camino de Santiago journey, Keep Walking, Your Heart Will Catch Up. Can you talk briefly about that book to our audience? I just love that book.
Oh, thank you. I love to talk about it. Excuse me. Because I love to talk about that experience. The part I don't love to talk about is my husband had died. I was 64 years old, and I was wondering, what am I going to do with the next 30 years of my life? And I'd heard about the Camino de Santiago, which translates as the Way of St. James. It's in Spain, and it's a pilgrimage trail that people have been walking for thousands of years. And it really called to me. I just somehow knew in my heart, I have to go. I have to go walk. And I thought, well, that's great, because it'll give me time to think and to plan out the next 30 years of my life without distractions. Because what do? You get up in the morning and you walk. You get to your hostel where you're staying and wash your clothes and rest and go to sleep and get up in the morning and walk. And it's a 483-mile trail across Spain. So you get a lot of time for this. And so I went and thought it'd be a good thinking activity, and it wasn't. It emotionally broke me down where I didn't know I had any trouble. I thought I was past the grief with my husband. It had been 3 years since he passed away. And I mean, from the first night, I start crying. And I'm like, what is this? Where is it coming from? And so I did hear in my inner voice the word absolution. And I thought, well, this is the pilgrimage trail. And some people do. I mean, for years in the Catholic Church, they promised absolution or forgiveness of sin for people who did the trail. And I thought, that's not why I'm here. I don't need absolution. And then I heard that voice. Yes, you do. You need it from yourself to yourself. And so that's what the 37 days of walking turned out to be. I really got in touch with myself, things I'd buried and hidden, and just got to know myself again. And it was a lot of ups and downs, but that was a wonderful, kind of a life-changing event. And when I got back home, then I wrote about it, and it really began to come to life to me as I was writing about it and reflecting on it.
Well, it's a deeply moving book. I just admired you for your willingness to take the risk. That first step, which sometimes seems to be the hardest, you know, you tackled that and then just kept going. And as I said, it remains one of my favorite books. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Now I will jump to the reason that we're coming together today, and that's to talk about artificial intelligence. And so, Cathay, do you use artificial intelligence in your creative process these days? Why or why not?
You know, my first gut answer is no, I don't. But then as I've been, and I appreciate the chance to talk about it because I've been thinking of it more, and maybe my idea is pretty narrow about what is artificial intelligence. And I go back and think of, you know, years and years ago when our cars first started talking to us. I remember getting into a car and it telling me to put on my seatbelt. I hated that. I don't want this talking to me. And so that began this resistance and this, you know, disdain for technology. But, you know, and I still don't want my car talking. Well, I do when I'm using the GPS. I want it talking to me and telling
Fair
me.
Enough.
So I thought, okay, I need to kind of broaden my thought about it. So there is some good about it, and I can see it, but I am kind of resistant, and I drag my feet. I have to get drug into things. But so recently, because I do a blog I've done for about 4 years, and I took, you know, one short break, but basically every week I've been posting something. And I got tired. And sometimes I come and sit down, I know nothing that I want to say. And so it occurred to me a few weeks ago, well, let me try out this AI. Let me go to ChatGPT. And I put it in, I told it to write a blog for me. I did not even give it a topic, no parameters or nothing. And it came back with a pretty decent piece of work. I was amazed, and it's something, you know, yeah. If I may, can I read just a, I have a
paragraph. Oh, please do. Please do.
But I only used the one paragraph. So here's what it gave me. In the hustle and bustle of modern life, it's all too easy to get caught up in a whirlwind of stress, anxiety, and constant distractions. We find ourselves endlessly chasing after deadlines, juggling responsibilities, and seeking validation from external sources. In this chaotic dance, we often lose touch with the present moment and neglect the most important relationship of all, the one we have with ourselves. So it kind of made me happy and kind of made me angry that a machine.
It sounds like a real aha moment, that moment when you go, oh my goodness, this isn't half bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Please keep going.
No, but that's right. That's what I thought. Well, okay, it's not bad. I thought, well, then. So here's where I've come to been thinking about it. I've come to the place of thinking, but I don't want to get dependent on it. And I thought, what I like about writing and how it really energizes me is these moments of clarity and aha. And sometimes things, I mean, it just comes together and it comes from the spirit, from me, kind of all mixing together. I mean, there are times I've gone back and read something I wrote maybe a year or two later. And I'm like, did I write that? Where did it come from? That's pretty good. Did I pick that up and plagiarize it from somewhere? Is that me? And I'll go back and say, yeah, and I got it that way. And that energizes me and I love it. And I learn a lot when I'm writing is where pieces come together. And I thought that's the sadness. If you go, if I would just go to AI and say, okay, give me something, it would. But then I lose that emotional connection. And I wonder if I'd lose that ability to think in those ways and do that creation. I was thinking about like mathematics and the calculator,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Some basic multiplication. Sometimes I have to double check it to see if I got it right in my mind. So sometimes I don't use a calculator because I want to keep my mind fresh and remember those tables, remember how to do the math without relying on something outside of me. And so I see AI could have that same effect where we stop using our own creative intuition.
You speak to something I think that is, I've spoken with several authors on this podcast, and you have identified something, a common theme, which is the concern about that the humanity of their craft. I'm going to share, and I don't know if I've shared before with you, the Authors Guild survey from last year. Of the writers who report using generative AI in their writing process, 47% said they use it as a grammar tool. 29% said they use it for brainstorming plot ideas and characters, 14% to structure or organize their drafts, and 26% for marketing, but only 7% said they use it to generate text. And so when I hear you say, I love that you just threw a blind prompt out there and it came back with something to start with, and I think that's a real, as I said, an aha moment when that occurs.
Yeah, it is, and it, you know, so I can see the use of it, but I think there's a real danger for it, and especially if you want to write and really write expressing yourself, mm-hmm. then I think it's a real danger. I'd stay away from it.
Well, one of my favorite authors was like, I don't want AI doing my job. It's my job to create. You know, it's easy. It's too easy to be lazy as it is, to let alone have AI go in there and do my work. And she said, AI, stay away from my job.
I like it. I agree with it. That's good. You know, and Let me add another thought to it. I listened to this masterclass, which I signed up for, and with Malcolm Gladwell talking about writing. And I just love his works and what he's written, but and his teaching is great. And so he has one lesson on research. And he says, let me quote here, says, "What makes you love Google is why Google is not helpful. Because it gives you an answer and then it's a dead end. Gives you the answer, then you're done. Then where else do you go with it?" And what Google does, think it's pulling from the internet what all these other people have said or written and just regurgitating what's been out there. And that's what you get. So where's the fresh ideas? Where are you going to get fresh research? And then he goes on to talk about going to the library and using the library and how librarians are trained to help you find information, and they can do that. And he talks about going to a book that's about the topic you're interested in, then seeing what's next to it, maybe a few books down, what else is kind of surrounding it. And then you can get a fuller picture of what it is you want to study and what you want to say. And that just really made sense to me. So again, Google's good when you need a quick answer, but if you really want to get into a topic or a theme, you have to use it carefully.
Oh, I love that response from Malcolm Gladwell. It gives you an answer that's the solution and the problem at the same time, because it's a dead end. And that makes perfect sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, in my own writing, it's one thing to just ask for factual information. You know, in what year was this famous athlete born? You know, that's pretty straightforward data. Perfect. And there's not a lot of ambiguity about it. It's a date. It's either true or false. Mm-hmm. What was interesting was I was having problems with a short story and realized I had to change the plot. And I thought, wow, if I have to change the plot and come up with a new villain, who should it be? And I asked ChatGPT, who came up with some great options. I said, ChatGPT, give me three possible villains to replace the current villain, after I'd uploaded the short story. And I was shocked at number one, how fast and how actually logical or possible the choices were. It was up to me to make it work. But yes, I could grow very lazy asking, you know, I could spend more time generating prompts, the right prompts, than I could editing if I was to keep along that path.
Mm-hmm. I can see it could probably get pretty addictive.
That's a great word. That's a great word. It is addictive. My goodness, it is addictive.
Mm-hmm. So it's giving something to us, but it's taking something also. Maybe short time, a quick fix on something, make it feel better. We got a quick answer. Here we go. But in the long term, it's draining something else out of us that we don't even know it's going out of us.
And I'm making this up as I go. I'm sorry, say that again.
I'm making this up as I go.
Well, that's part of human creativity and interaction. You know, you and I are interacting, our ideas are bouncing off one another. I'm taking away fresh insights from things that you say. You know, this is a very human creative process.
That's right. And that's where it comes together.
Is the beginning of the exploration of finding the answer, not the end. You tell me Kathy's addictive. I go, Kathy is right. It's addictive. Why is addictive like alcohol? It's addictive like tobacco. It's addictive like a lot of other things. And maybe it needs to be categorized and treated as a drug. I mean, your brain just goes off in all sorts of wild directions that are unique to the interaction that's taking place between you and I.
Yeah, right. And the richness of it comes with the interaction, right? It's people interaction. And with AI, it's just one way. So you say it, you get an answer, it's the dead end. You don't get the chance to change your mind as you're going along to get a new perspective from someone else and add it to yours and come up with something completely new and different and fresh.
Well, I'm going to be thinking about the addictive nature of generative AI for a while after our podcast. And that's the other interesting thing about human creativity. It's not one and done. It's, you know, you start with the germ of an idea, you know, you go about your day, it's germinating in the back of your mind. And by the time you sit down to produce something, it's had a chance to sort of saturate or what's the word I'm looking for, where things have marinate. The ideas have a chance to marinate. And then, boom, you're sitting in front of your tablet or your pencil and paper person, and you're writing, and there it is. Fascinating.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at now. I'm on a project, and I've got a couple chapters. I haven't been able to write, and I sit down, and nothing comes. And I have this awareness, like, it's not right yet. There's something else going on in my mind, or maybe other people I need to talk with. And when it's time to come together, it'll come together. And that's just the process and giving place for it. Though it would be tempting to go, well, let me go and see what Chat GPT has to tell me about it and get me a start. But I don't want to do that.
Well, what I love about this cafe is when you and I spoke back in October, several months ago, and we were both sort of feeling our way with generative AI. I had just started the podcast. And we were. I remember saying, "Well, no, we don't use it." And while here it is, maybe less than 6 months later, and we're making tiny forays into the use of ChatGPT or generative AI, and finding out what works for us and what doesn't work for us. And we're further along that learning curve, it seems to me.
Yeah, I think so. Before, originally, I wouldn't even consider it. No. And then I would hear people talk about using it and start to think maybe I'm missing out, but that's not a good reason to use it either. it was only a few weeks back that I did that blog with it. And I just used that first paragraph. Then I went on in the blog to say, I didn't write that. AI did.
Attribution is so important. You're hitting on something that's very key. I letting the reader know that you've used AI in if you have, and if so, in what capacity and to what extent. This whole idea of attribution is a hot topic in AI these days.
You have to own up to it. I don't know. How does that fit in there? That's awkward.
Well, you know what's really awkward? I just recently acquired an agent, and as I was looking at the contract, there was a section on AI. And one of the requirements was that, or it was a bald statement that if I used generative AI or just AI to create any part of the novel, they might not be able to represent me for that. And that blew me away, because AI is so broad. It can be anything, like I said, from using it as a grammar check to, to plotting and to actual writing the text. And to think that I would now have to track my writing to see, did I use AI in any part of this work? It's sort of overwhelming. You know, it makes me want to go, I'm not going to use it at all.
That's tough. It's work enough to keep track of people I'm quoting and get their permissions. And then, it's easier not to mess with it.
It is. And what I'm thinking is today, in my ideal world, I'm going to be touching bases with you regularly every couple of months, you know, 3 or 4 months or so, to see, you know, if your opinions and your use of AI has changed, and we can compare notes.
That'll be interesting. Be good to see.
Yeah, because you're a beta user, as am I. So thank you very much for your frank comments and thoughtful comments. Is there anything that you'd like to add? And by the way, how do people connect with you who've listened to this podcast? If they want to, you know, follow more or learn more about you and your work, what do they do?
Okay, they can reach me on my website, and it's my name, So www.cafereta, as it's on the screen, .com. And there you can see about where to get my books or just my blog or what else I'm up to.
Well, I'm a real fan of your blog and of your writing. So thank you so much for taking time to share your thoughts with us on AI.
Thank you, Kathy.